You're listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Joby Thomas with Pridemore Properties. Joby, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. So, Joby, you've got quite a story, not your typical realtor story for having been in a few in another area or another arena, quite unique in that you had a very successful basketball career here in Charlotte at UNC Charlotte, where I think you still hold a record there at UNC Charlotte. No,
I mean, I think I may have a few. They're starting to fall pretty quick, though. That's the hard part. When you stop playing, you can't defend yourself anymore, right?
You might
duck.
Yeah, try to figure out how to come out of retirement there just to maintain.
Right.
I love it. So I do want to just get into it. So your story is so unique really where you've been and where you are now and success at every level. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Metro Charlotte and gravitating to basketball, collegiate basketball. How did that develop?
Yeah, so I'm a native Charlottean, like you said, born and raised, been here my whole life. So, you know, we often hear in our business that I'm a unicorn, right? Not too many people that can say that. But sports has been a part of my life from the time I could walk. My mom says I was dribbling a basketball before I could walk. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I certainly remember sports being a huge part of my youth. And so I played a lot of sports, not just basketball, baseball, tennis, even dabbled in soccer at a very young age before my parents said, listen, you're playing too much, too many sports. We can't drive you around all over the place. You're going to have to.
I can appreciate that. I know you can too.
Exactly.
As a parent. It doesn't take much to get overwhelmed when your child is into many different things, and in your case, many different sports.
That's right. So it kind of ended up being baseball and basketball up until my freshman year of high school. I focused exclusively on basketball. My parents, my dad, you know, God bless them, told me I was crazy, that I should focus on baseball. But I really had just a desire, love for the game, and was able to excel. We had some success. Went to Independence High School, graduated from there. We won a state championship, 4A state championship. In 1997, my junior year, and that was kind of the time when the floodgates of recruiting began to open, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so I had the good fortune of having a lot of choices and options of where I would go and play college basketball and get a free education. And came down to LSU or Charlotte, believe it or not. Never envisioned I would stay home and play college basketball. I was a huge ACC guy growing up here in kind of ACC country.
Sure.
And did visit Clemson and NC State. Wake Forest recruited me some late, but I wasn't really their guy. And mm-hmm. Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, was having a lot of success. Had just come off an NCAA tournament appearance, a loss in the second round, actually against North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. In overtime, and so there's a lot of momentum around that, and they really sold me on an opportunity to be a local kid, to stay home, to help build something, and I was really excited about that. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, the intrigue of going to an SEC school like LSU was extremely appealing, but at the end of the day, they appealed more to the heart of staying home and helping to build
Absolutely.
Something in my local city.
Let me back up just for a sec. I want to... You know, the recruiting aspect when you're in high school, did that start in your junior or senior year?
So really, it started more my junior year. Okay. I played AAU basketball, and AAU now, for folks that are familiar, has grown tremendously to where there are hundreds of teams literally in the city. When I was playing, there were two teams in the city of Charlotte, the Sonics and the Royals, and you had to get an invite to come play. So
wow.
We literally had the top 24 kids in the city. You had to make it. There were cuts, very nerve-wracking, strenuous, difficult. And so I had the fortune of making it, playing. And so we played tournaments, and a lot of college coaches really recruited heavily the mm-hmm. AAU circuit. So I would argue at the time you could have almost not played high school basketball and had a successful career in AAU, if you will, and been recruited.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I coached my younger daughter's basketball team, and we did have a few players that were also in AAU in that league, and you could tell that their skill level was just a little bit above, you know, the other girls, even at age 11 and 12. It's a great program.
Yeah, I mean, it's great exposure. Nowadays, you've got shoe companies involved, and we could spend all day kind of talking more about that, the good, the bad, the ugly. But that's where I began to get a lot of exposure and where school started recruiting me.
So very good. And so then you made your decision that you were going to stay home. UNC Charlotte was your school. Tell us what happened after you made that decision.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I signed to play for Melvin Watkins, who just before the end of the season received an offer after all their success to go coach at Texas A&M. So I could have kind of backed out of my commitment. Ended up, long story very short, Coach Bobby Lutz was the associate head coach, top assistant, a big part of my recruitment, had a good relationship with him. He ended up getting the head coaching job, and so I decided to honor my commitment and to attend University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and it probably worked out for me. The script was kind of perfect, if you will. Coach mm-hmm. Lutz really loved me and gave me a great opportunity. My freshman year, I started all but 9 games, I believe, and I think I still hold all time in school history, the most minutes played for any player. Wow. And so he really gave me just a golden opportunity. Still close friends with him this day and super grateful for all he did for me. Certainly I worked hard, but it could have been very different had I been put in a different position.
Absolutely. And obviously those that follow college basketball, Bobby Lutz in the state of North Carolina and obviously beyond garners tremendous respect. And what he's done for various programs, and any time I've ever heard of one of his players talk about their experience with Coach Lutz, it's all glowing. They're all very so thankful to have known him and be, you know, as friends with him as you are. So it speaks a lot about to his character, but also yours and the relationship that you have. So, okay, so that was your freshman year at UNCC. Can you walk us through a little bit after your freshman year? You were the workhorse. You played, you know, had more time on the court than anyone up to this point. So what did the sophomore and junior year look like?
Yeah, so I gained a ton of experience and confidence from playing as much as I did as a freshman. We ended up making the NCAA tournament, beating Lamar Odom in Rhode Island the first round, losing to Oklahoma the second round. So going to my sophomore year, I had, you know, a lot of confidence we'd have another great year. We ended up falling just short. I had a good year personally, but we made the NIT. It was a disappointment for us at the time. And then I was able to just continue to build on that so that, you know, by my senior year, I was selected as first team all conference, one of the top scorers in the conference. I still believe I hold the all-time Conference USA 3-point record. As well as the nice. All-time school 3-point record. And at that point, you know, I began to get an idea, I guess, that there may be an opportunity to play basketball beyond college. And that's kind of where I set my sights on trying to make the ultimate goal of the NBA.
Mm. So from what I've read, I did not play collegiate sports, but I am absolutely a sports fan, basketball in particular. At what point during, at least from what I've heard or read, at what point during your collegiate career did the obviously you still had the desire, you love the game, but then it became, you became, I'm sure, as you get a few years under your belt, a matter of identifying a goal and working towards that goal, that active progression towards that goal, and you just mentioned NBA being that. So what was it? Was it just the success, or did that come even as a child where you've had your eyes set on playing for the NBA? Did it come through your collegiate career, or was that something you decided when you were in AAU?
Yeah, no, it was something by the time I was, you know, 5-6 years old, I had a goal. Wow. I wanted to play professional sports.
It's incredible. I mean, if you think about it, it's that seed and I'm a big believer of, you know, if you set your mind to it, you believe it, you can achieve it. And you lived it.
Yeah, it was, you know, I agree wholeheartedly, whether it's real estate, whether it's athletics, whether it's the business world, you've got to set goals. You've got to have, I think, even lofty goals and targets to challenge yourself, something to work towards. And so that, you know, was certainly a driving factor in how hard I worked and my ultimate desire to play basketball beyond the collegiate level.
I love it. And so can you speak to what role mentors have meant to your success?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I look at a lot of my coaches, my parents, even teammates who were older than me, who had kind of been there and were able to you know, just speak to what it takes to reach a certain level. That goes for, you know, guys like yourself in real estate today that I really look up to and have more experience than me. I think mentors are essential. You know, people that you can bounce ideas off of, people who ultimately you can just observe their life, their business patterns of success, so that you can mimic those things. And also, I think failure is a big part of just life in general. We're all going to fall short. We're all going to make mistakes. And it's important to even learn from other people's failures. To A, not try to make the same mistakes, but also to know that, you know, that resiliency and you know, perseverance is an important part of success as well.
Oh, yeah. So well put, Joby. And obviously, you're of the mindset that when I look at the most successful people that I know, they have that same belief where they set goals, they identify with mentors and their lifelong learners. Okay, let's skip to the senior year and everything is kind of starting to shape that you're going to end up fulfilling your childhood dream.
Yeah, so I was invited to play in the Portsmouth Invitational, which is kind of at the time the first of the NBA camps. You know, once I finished up, this was April or so of 2002, and ended up making first team all Portsmouth. Most of the guys who were going to be the top 15, 20 picks in the draft, lottery picks, don't attend Portsmouth. It's for the guys who maybe mid to late first round, second round, even guys who are fringe players who are on the fence, teams want to get another look at. And from that, I was invited to the NBA pre-draft camp in Chicago. About 65 players in the world are invited to that. That was in 2002. And so at that point, you know, I'd already hired an agent and worked out for a number of teams. I worked out for Golden State Warriors, Memphis Grizzlies, Chicago Bulls, Charlotte Hornets. I'm probably leaving a few out. And had really good workouts. And so I was, you know, of the belief that I had a great opportunity probably to be a late first round, maybe early second round draft picked. And that was what my agent was telling me.
Mm, fantastic. So when you look back, was it more for you around, wow, this is really happening and full out confidence, or was it a little bit scary? Thinking that, wow, because I think the closer that people get to a big dream that they've set out in their life, sometimes there's fear that they may get what they've asked for. Did you experience any of that fear?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I did, absolutely. There was excitement. There was confidence. I had supreme confidence in the ability. I knew I belonged, that I could play at this level. Mm. But
let me just, it's that right there. That right there, you knew that you belonged. That is profound. As simple as it sounds, that is huge, because you had the mindset. And you knew that, hey, listen, you might be a little scared. And it's like they say, you know, if you really feel in control, then you're not really headed towards, you're not stretching yourself. Mm-hmm. When you feel a little bit out of control, that's when you're growing. So anyway, that's a fantastic point you made. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah,
to stop.
No, I agree. That was important, because at the end of the day, if you don't believe you belong, then that's going to translate to the way you know, perform. Whatever arena that is, the court, you know, the classroom, business, yep. et cetera. So I had that opportunity, but I was fearful. And in fact, the first game, the format's very different. I won't get into that today, but now they put you through a lot more skills, something I think is more beneficial in Chicago for the NBA pre-draft camp. Back then, it was more like pickup ball. And so, you know, put you on teams. You have NBA coaches, assistant coaches who are your coaches, and you play. And that was not necessarily the strength of my game. I was more a system guy. I was a shooter, pickup ball. I mean, I could hold my own, but I was not going to shine. And I didn't. My first game out, I was nervous. You got Jerry West and Phil Jackson and all these legendary people in the gym watching me. And
yeah, that's humbling.
I think I was 5 for 17, which is not a good shooting percentage. And that kind of it hurt me. I settled in the rest of the camp. I played better, but I think it created enough doubt in some GMs and executives to think, yeah, I'm not so sure if we want to draft them. Ultimately, I didn't get drafted, ended up going into camp with Golden State, not making it. And at that point, you know, it was a reality check of, okay, I had this huge goal. I know I belong and I could play here, but I didn't necessarily make the most of the opportunity. And of course, there are other factors involved. I was probably an inch or two shorter than what they would wanted. That was pre-Steph Curry days and the three-point shot changing the landscape of basketball as we know it.
Yeah, and Kerr wasn't there at Golden State,
that's right?
That might have helped your cause.
It would have drastically changed things. I fully believe that. But it was now, okay, I had this lofty goal, this dream. I can feel sorry for myself, or I can move forward.
Mm. So so at that point in your life, you know, your hometown hero, that's probably, there's a lot of pressure there. Folks growing up in Mid Hill, right? You know, hey, Joby, you know, had tremendous success at UNC Charlotte. Now he's potentially, you know, he's going to be in the NBA. Internally, can you talk a little bit about that pressure and how, and where you felt you experienced a little bit of, I'm not going to call it failure, but for the listeners that might, how about just not yet? So, can you talk about how you were able to handle that? And maybe just a little bit of a road bump in your trajectory?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier the importance of not only having goals and working towards, achieving whatever it is you set out to do, but success is not always, you know, getting exactly what you want. In my mind, I believe.
Right,
100%. We learned so much from our shortcomings and things that are more challenging. We grow most when life's hard. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Nobody is growing the way they could when things are going well. You tend to rely on yourself a lot more and just kind of go through life with a more cavalier mindset. But when things are hard, you really start to reflect and look for help internally and externally. And so I had more pressure than just myself because I'd just gotten married at the time.
Oh, wow.
And that's, there was that pressure of, wow, now I've got not one but two mouths to feed, right, if you will.
Yep.
And but fortunately, my parents really instilled in me from, you know, the day I was born that you have to work hard to achieve anything, that nothing's going to be handed to you. My mom was a living example for that. I've seen my whole life how hard she worked and so forth, and without any recognition, without any fanfare. And I just, that's all I knew. And so failure was not an option. And so I believe, you know, that the good Lord had other plans in store for me. And my agent began to set my sights on Europe.
Okay. Yeah. That's fantastic. And tell us, and when that started to materialize, where did you go? Where did your first NBA experience land you?
So, yeah, so I fell short of the NBA, but, you know, it's well documented now. There are other opportunities to go play in other countries. FIBA, the International Basketball Federation, overseas you know, various competitions. The Euro League is kind of the cream of the crop in Europe. It would be kind of the NBA of Europe, if you will. And so you have the top teams from the top countries who play against one another. So teams from Spain and Turkey and Russia and Italy and France and Germany, all over play each other. And so I was able to work my way up. I ended up playing in Portugal my very first year, which was, you know, not the best basketball country, but was a great start. Mm-hmm. And was able to lead the country in scoring. And in my second year, moved to Italy and played 10 consecutive seasons in Italy.
Oh, wow.
Started at some of the smaller clubs and worked my way up to where I was playing in the EuroLeague competition that I mentioned. And just an incredible experience. And then my last two seasons, I went back to Portugal. I kind of joke it was a paid vacation. in some ways, I worked hard, but it wasn't the pressure of being in the Italian league and playing in the Euro League. And so all in all, I had a 13 seasons in the professional ranks in Europe before decided to hang up the basketball shoes.
Fantastic. So you're, you know, obviously you chose the hometown school, UNC Charlotte, and then your thrust into Europe. I mean, we've often heard that you really grow through the people you meet, the books you read, and the places you visit. So what was it like? I mean, was it a little bit of a fish out of water?
A lot of fish out of water. You know, I tell people when you have the experience where you cannot communicate, you can't ask, where's the restroom? You know, where do I go? Right. Where am I? You're kind of dropped off in the middle of a new world, new country. It's a humbling experience. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what happened to me. You know, my wife and I moved to Portugal, didn't know anybody. I remember getting the call from my agent, and I like to tell the story. People get a good kick out of it. And he called me and said, "Hey, I've got a job for you in Portugal." I paused on the phone for a second. And I said, "Portugal? Man, I'm not going to South America." For the listeners who aren't laughing, then you need a geography lesson. Portugal's not in South America, but that's literally did not know that. It's beside Spain. I remember pulling an encyclopedia out of my parents' house. This was pre-internet days, and looking and like, where am I going? I was on a plane the next day. So getting there, wow, having the, you know, the humbling experience of, I don't know where I am. I don't know anyone.
And what was that conversation between you and Kristen? What was that like?
Well, I went ahead and kind of prepared the way. She stayed back a couple weeks.
Okay.
And I remember about 3 weeks later picking her up from the airport. I was super excited that she was there. I was excited about, you know, the opportunity we had. She's pretty quiet. I could tell she's pretty nervous. About a 15-minute drive from the airport to the apartment the team provided for us. And so we get there. I introduce her to the apartment, the place we're going to spend the next 10 months or so of our life. And I look at her and say, "What do you think?" And she just starts bawling, just starts crying. And I'm like, wow, that good, huh? So so it was a rocky start to our marriage and to life abroad. But I can say we grew from that experience. We met amazing people, you know, ate incredible food, saw wonderful places, and, you know, were able to the time we spent in Italy to learn the Italian language. And some of my greatest friends are still there. And there are many times that honestly I miss being over there.
Wow.
So yeah, it was kind of full circle, if you will.
So are you still fluent in Italian?
Più o meno, yes, more or less. So I still try to speak it some. You know, one of the home inspectors, Emilio Conciatore, who does an amazing job with a lot of my clients, he's Italian, and so I get to speak with him a good bit and have some Italian clients and friends here that I've met. So
I
try to stay sharp, but I'm not near as sharp as I once was.
Wow, I love it. So let's transition this conversation to your most recent venture, and you're seeing equal the amount of success that you've had in your basketball career, real estate. So I've been fortunate enough to have you at Pridemore Properties, I believe almost a year and a half. roundabout and the contributions that you bring to the to Pride More Properties are immense. Obviously, you know, you're a leader. You're exactly the kind of agent that I've really set a goal for Pride More Properties to identify and bring in to be a part of the team. Not only because you're very focused and being a leader, but you're a giver. And let's talk a bit about you being a giver, because the recipients for you being a giver are really your clients. Can we talk a little bit about maybe your expertise and how you've been able to help so many people find a home, sell a home, invest in real estate here in Charlotte?
Yeah, so, you know, real estate is not something I envisioned that I would be doing. It kind of started out as an interest in the investment side. I had a rental property and decided after playing basketball, I thought I would go into coaching, and I just wanted to go get my real estate license. And months later, here I am thinking, you know what, there's an opportunity here to really help people. I enjoy working with people. I enjoy people in general. And, you know, there are a lot of agents out there. We all know that, right? Tons of realtors. I think 92,000 licensees. I had a CE class yesterday, I heard them say. But wow. Probably, you know, 2,000 of those are the top 20% sure. in the city yeah. that are doing 80% right. of the business.
Pareto's principle. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yep. And so that being said, while there are a lot of agents, there are a lot of great agents out there, you know, I thought there was still a need and an opportunity mm-hmm. that I could help and assist people with one of the arguably biggest decisions they'll ever make in their life. And so I think it was a natural fit. I jumped in. And really haven't looked back. I enjoy that more than anything. You know, I've had the privilege of working with, you know, folks that are buying their third home and mm-hmm. their dream home, to many first-time buyers who have no idea what the buying process looks like. Gives me great gratification to know and to hopefully be just a rock, if you will, a firm foundation to help them make a wise decision. So I joke with my wife that I probably talk many people out of buying homes, which seems counterproductive in our business, but I really desire to help people make the decision that's best for them. I do not want to, you know, just sell a home.
Yeah.
I want to benefit the individual I'm working with.
Oh, that's so evident with you, Joby. You're in it for all the right reasons, really. What really fulfills you is your service to your clients. And I know, and I sense this with you, is it's not about the money. It's about being of service. It's about being that fiduciary, that trusted advisor. And that's evident in your success. Talk to us a little bit about, also, you bring another layer of expertise, being a real estate investor. And what you, you know, not only what you, how you are able to apply that to your clients, but what goes into making a wise real estate investment, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're in any field, no matter what that is, and you're not passionate about what it is you do, I would argue you need to kind of, you know, take a long look in the mirror, analyze why you're doing what you're doing. We know people have extenuating circumstances, special situations. They have to provide for family. They have to provide an income, and life's not always, doesn't always put us in a situation where we can do exactly what we want to do. But that being said, you have to be passionate about what you do. And so I believe if I'm going to help others buy and sell real estate, I need to be passionate about myself, and I am. I'm an avid reader and a learner, and I've got a ton to learn still, but I have had the privilege of investing in real estate, and that was, I mentioned, my goal, my really initial push, if you will, to get into the business, and that still holds true today. So while I love working with buyers and sellers, I'm also in it because I have an inside track. Yep. I'm building relationships. Definitely. And I have opportunities there to invest in something that I believe can be life-changing.
Yeah, and I've people would be really surprised at how few real estate professionals actually invest in the product that they help people buy and sell. The fact that you do, once again, it's a whole nother layer of expertise that you bring to the table to your clients. So that's your day to day. Obviously, you're a full time real estate professional, but you also, I know you do some work in the community with youth sports. Can you speak to some work last month that I saw with some kids on a basketball team? What was that about?
Yeah, so I love to try to stay around the game and help out when I can. My children really are, they're in other sports and aren't playing basketball. I've never pushed that on them, so I'm not helping them directly per se. But I've got a lot of relationships in the business, mm-hmm. So I've had the privilege to go speak to a number of just local youth teams. In fact, last week I went and spoke to Hickory Ridge High School basketball team right before their final game of the season, just to try to encourage them, share some experiences. And so that's an example of the types of things I'm doing. Try to be around and help some of the local high schools, and especially where my kids attend school, build relationships there. That's something in the future that I'd be more interested in doing. I also, do some radio and television for UNC Charlotte and ESPN Plus, and that keeps me around the game as well and able to mentor some of the guys. I don't travel with the team anymore and just too busy, mm-hmm. but was able to do that a few years ago and really build relationships with the players currently. And so try to give back in those ways.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. And then, and tell us, and you have two kids, right?
Three.
How did I get that? Oh man, you know what? I think I did know that. Yeah. Tell us. So what are the ages?
So my daughters are the two oldest, 13, 10, and my son is 7, but my girls, they have birthdays coming up. So
nice.
Next year I'll have an elementary, middle, and high schooler.
I'm going through that right now with my oldest. It's an adjustment, to say the least.
Yep. Yeah, teenage years are, if we can maybe just put a black mark through them and forget about them, skip them, come back. No, my daughter, she actually, she's fantastic. And, she's been great even through the teenage years thus far.
That's right. You're a highly involved parent, as busy as you are. How do you strike that balance?
Yeah, I try to, my family is my priority, even above business or, above other, friendships and personal things. I believe that the good Lord's giving my family as my first responsibility. And so mm-hmm. I try to prioritize them and time with them. And then everything else is secondary. That being said, I'm imperfect. And so I don't always strike a perfect balance. But I just try to be available and be around. I think being present is a big part of the process, especially as I've got kids at different ages going different directions, et cetera, mm-hmm. and trying to do special things, plan, certain dates and sure. times with them individually and collectively.
Absolutely. And I will speak to, when you are in the office, you are all in. You're on the MLS churning out comps or doing CMAs or talking to clients. In fact, most of the time you're talking with various multitudes of clients. So I can attest to that you figured out a system to be fully involved with your clients, but obviously in the evening or on the weekends as you see fit, you're able to spend that same focused time with your family. So I commend you for mastering that skill. I'll say this, you're getting there, and it's that active progression, right?
Absolutely.
So I'd like to thank you, Joby, for being on this podcast episode. Really appreciate sitting down with you and sharing your story with our listeners. It's obviously a story that's not your typical one when you hear about someone's background and how they landed in real estate. So continued success to you, my friend. And I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me and giving the opportunity to share some of my story. Thank you for all you do for us. And Pridemore Properties is a fantastic firm. And so for those needing help, buying or selling real estate, you're not going to find a better experience than working with an agent from Pridemore Properties. And Scott, it starts with you. So thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. Wasn't looking for that, but much appreciated. I do feel like we've got a great thing going here, and you're a huge part of it. So thank you.
Thanks again.
All right. Scott Pridemore, Joby Thomas for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Thank you so much.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at PrideMoreProperties.com.